There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are now in the mix with DJ Ed R. Zooming on the fan.
Right back at it, talking sports, not really watching sports. The Pittsburgh Penguins lead the New York Islanders 2-1. That's all we've got on. There's no NBA tonight, and obviously no NFL. And so you got me. Hopefully I'm keeping you entertained, distracted, taking calls at 888-808-1019, and just passing the time. Like I said, 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. And this hour, we will get into conversation around Malik Nabers, who I just don't understand why you guys are so critical of a rookie that you let get a retired number that you all were saying was generational and going to be the best receiver ever. And yeah, now he's got some drops. Now he's being a rookie. That's what I was literally saying in August. Like, let's slow down. He's going to struggle. He might get hurt. He's going to have a learning curve. He might get frustrated if the team is not. And here we are. 888-808-1019. Again, you know, just setting up the conversation we're going to go into around the Giants. I just don't understand what they're doing. And it's funny now, as much as Giants fans were so ready to get Dave Gettleman up out of here, and then the revolving door of coaches that you had with Joe Judge and Pat Shurmur and Ben McAdoo, and I don't know, 1 year of winning some games unexpectedly and getting to the playoffs and winning Coach of the Year, I'm looking at Shane and Dable right now, like, why are they so safe? What is their plan here? What are they doing? We got to see them on the offseason Hard Knocks, and the biggest thing that came from that was Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is now thriving down the turnpike against or as your division rival, with a guy you got to play against. You also have to play against Jaden Daniels, who you had in your building. And because you won some games last season, you missed out on being able to draft him. Like, now I'm looking at the trade deadline back-to-back years. You didn't want to trade Saquon because of the vibe in the locker room and him being a captain and a leader. And now you don't trade Darius Slayton and Aziz Ojulari. Is it to win these upcoming games? Is it to do the morale thing again and show that, you know, you've got a good head coach and a good culture and you're going to go to Germany and beat the Panthers? Not a guarantee. You're going to come back home and beat the Buccaneers because they don't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? Not a guarantee. They went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, and if Todd Bowles would have actually thought about it, you know what happened last night. Oh, let me guess. You're going to go to Dallas and beat Cooper Rush in the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, for the Dallas Cowboys in the tri-state area and beyond listening, I'm going to lay into the Dallas Cowboys. I don't really want to do it, but I think it's necessary that I have to do it. Jonathan from Los Angeles called in to say, your Cowboys. Yeah, I got to freeze on that account until Jerry Jones steps down, and I'll tell you why. America's team to laugh at. They're at it again. So 888-808-1019 if you want to start to bring some of the football conversation in around the Giants, around the NFL trade deadline, the Dallas Cowboys, the Jets as well. But let's continue to talk about Juan Soto. And before I take my calls on Juan Soto and the Yankees and the Mets, I want to play what Andy Martino said last night. I thought this was interesting. So it's not just my opinion or some other people's opinion, but let's hear Andy Martino's opinion on the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
What is Soto specifically looking for in that next contract?
It's not just money, JJ. And look, I want to say at the outset that Juan Soto's done an amazing job, even internally to the Yankees, of really not portraying his deepest inner feelings. The Yankees like him. He likes them. Everyone got along. They thought he was coachable, hardworking, and nice. But I don't think anybody knows exactly what he wants in his heart and what Boris and he are thinking. So anyone who tells you that they know which way this is going, be very, very skeptical. Having said that, it's clear that Juan Soto wants to win. That's available to him most likely with the Yankees or the Mets, so that's not really a separator. And all this sort of easy talk, like, oh, he's just going to go to the highest offer. I don't necessarily see it that way from all the things that I see and hear with him. I think that if the Yankees are close to the highest offer, they'll get him. He's already there. It's already a first-class organization that he experienced with the World Series. His family was into being there. His dad was dancing with the other dads on social media. The bleacher creatures were into him. I don't think the Yankees have to be top, top, top dollar. That's just my hunch from being around it. So that's what it seems to me is money, winning, and being somewhere where he's happy. And clearly the Yankees can give him all those things.
Sounds better when you say it, Andy. Shout out to Andy. Shout out to Baseball Night in New York. Sal Licata hosts that show. Shout out to JJ, whose voice you heard ask Andy that question. Andy brought up two things that I can speak to. If you listened to my show last night, I talked about being at Game 5 in the Friends and Family section. I remember the first time I ever went to the Friends and Family section. I was working at Rock Nation. CC Sabathia was on the team. He sent tickets for the digital team. I worked right next to the girl that did his social media. I was ecstatic to go to Yankee Stadium for free. We were facing the Red Sox 2018. Went and sat in that area and looked around, and I'm like, this is cool. This is where the Yankees' wives and moms and dads all sit, and they have their own kind of area in the 200 level above the dugout. Well, I popped back in that area on Game 5, and I got to see Juan Soto. I got to see his family. I got to see some of the players' families, the Volpe family. I got to see that area again. With the joy that they had of the Yankees winning. This was before the fifth inning. You might have seen the video of the Yankees' dads with Michael Volpe, with Juan Soto's dad, with Judge's dad. I think maybe Glaber's dad. I forget who else was in the video. They're doing like a Rockettes dance or something. They're like kicking their legs up, celebrating going to the World Series. If you think those things don't matter, they do. If you think Papa doesn't have a say, he does. You think Mama doesn't have a say, she does. If you think that they don't already like where they're at in New York, a first-class organization like the New York Yankees that I'm sure rolled out the red carpet and treated him as if he is someone that's going to be here for 15 years, and maybe they actually reserve some things for when you are signed, right? That's what I'm telling you. You guys don't know what the Yankees have planned to court this man, to show this man and his family. 888-808-1019. Oh, the Bleacher Creatures. Shout out to the gang, gang, gang. We never left. The Bleacher Creatures do the roll call. It's loudest for Juan Soto this year. Juan Soto turns around, puts his hands up in the air, does the X, embraces the fans in 203 and all over. 204, 104, 103, up above 205, 206, 207. Like, that whole area turned into Juan Soto land. It used to be the judges' chambers. I started calling it Juan Soto land. Juan Soto would come out from the dugout, skip over that foul line, and greet the fans. And you see Dominican flags flying. Oh, yeah, they play in the Bronx. You see these fans with signs. Juan Soto, re-sign Soto. Stay with us, Soto, we love you. He's listening to the fans. He's interacting with the fans in-game. He's turning around to give it up to the fans. He talked about it. Those fans were great. But Boris coached him up to say, you know, when he was asked about the fans, he said, yeah, maybe that'll influence Yankees ownership. Of course it does. The Yankees understand what he means to the fan base. 1 year of Juan Soto, they gave up a lot of pieces. You can bet your ass that they're going to be in the front of the line to get this guy, and they're not going to just fold because Steve Cohen and the Mets have all the money. I think that there's a chance that David Stearns pulls back before Hal Steinbrenner pulls back because Hal Steinbrenner knows how important this is for the future in New York City with these two teams. Now the Yankees and the Mets are going to have high payrolls, high expectations. 888-808-1019. Lou in Astoria, back on the Fan.
Hey, big guy, how you doing? Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks for making it. I'm good.
Okay, listen, I'm from the Dominican Republic, as you know, okay? And I had a lot of respect for, you know, how we are with our homies. But after the World Series was over, and he tried to, I mean, that was crazy. I almost, my son cried. That you have to be talking about yourself and your free agency instead of all the love that we gave you through the year, okay, and taking that hard loss one of the worst World Series losses that we ever took. And you have to, you couldn't say, listen, this is not the time to be talking about this. We can get this done another day. Okay? I mean,
he was coached. He was prepared. Lou, the Yankees could have lost in four games, and I think he would have had the same spiel. The Yankees losing five games, he had the same thing
prepared.
You know
prepared. What? You know, he benefited from playing with the Yankees, having the regular guy at King of Baseball and Aaron Judge batting in back of him and gave him a lot of protection when he had his best year ever. Let me tell you something.
He did thank Judge. He did thank Judge. I do remember hearing him thank Judge for the season.
But I'm saying the San Diego Padres is pretty good, okay? Listen, this guy is one-dimensional player. He's a bouquet right field and gets away with it because he's an unbelievable offensive player, okay? I would not give this guy, people talking about $700 million. What is he going to pitch? What is he? I mean, he's a future DH. He's an outstanding offensive player, okay? And let me tell you something about his age. And I'm from the Dominican Republic, and I can tell you this personally. I'm not going to say nothing, but in the Dominican Republic.
Speaking of the Padres, didn't they just have a scandal? The Padres just had a scandal with a Dominican player's age.
Exactly. Hey, what I'm trying to tell you is, if you look at his face, he looks like he's 30 years old. In the Dominican Republic, you can, I mean, people are born at home. You can't afford to go to a hospital. And let me tell you something. The birth certificate,
that's
fake. Okay? I don't know if you're aware of that.
Of course I'm aware of it. Thanks for the call, Lou. My favorite baseball movie is Pelotero. And I told you guys, I don't think I'm baseball savant. I don't try to act like I'm Keithy Baseball. I don't know everything. I love the game, and I learn more about it every single year. I taught myself the game. It wasn't passed on to me from my father. It wasn't passed on to me from my brother. I took a liking to it. So much so, people in my family didn't understand it. Why you always have that glove? Why you always have that ball? Why you always wearing that Yankee hat? I don't know. I like it. And yes, I do know about the Dominican Republic, the hospitals, the birth certificates, and the things that allegedly have gone on. The Dominican baseball player that I was just mentioning with the Padres, like, he had a verbal agreement with the Padres, and they found out that he was 5 years older than he actually was. He is 19. And not 14. And there's a picture of him playing Little League, and he's like a foot taller than some of the other kids. I laugh because it's like people are literally applying that to Juan Soto. I don't know, though. 888-808-1019. You said he's a butcher in right field. I won't say he's a butcher in right field. I'll just say that he's not perfect, and he could be a lot better. And there, you know, there's much to be desired there, and I think he can improve on that. But he's going to get a huge contract. I just don't know if it has to be $700 million. I don't know if the winning bid is $700 million. I think that's a lot. Andrew is out on Staten Island, next on The Fan in New York.
Keith, how you doing? Love the show, man.
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
I got a few points to make. First quick point is Joe Kelly. I can't stand hearing this guy anymore. Again, with these takes about the Yankees being the Yankees defense and all this. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Joe? You haven't even pitched one inning in the World
Series.
He's
a scrub. He's a bum. He's talking like he made an impact. He didn't even play. It's crazy. And you know what else is crazy, too? And I was going to get to this later on when we talk football, like how Jason Kelce had to literally go on Monday Night Football and apologize for smashing a kid's phone that called his brother a slur. Like, Joe Kelly is talking like, He won't have to see somebody about this. Like, there won't be somebody to check him about this. Like, you could get checked by a random Yankee fan, or you could get checked by Stanton, Judge. Like, they're going to run into you somewhere. They're going to see you somewhere. You're talking crazy about an entire organization.
It's embarrassing, especially coming from him. He's still mad about the incident with Tyler Austin in 2018. That's it. Anyway, next point. Going back to the bat, to the caller, Phillip, talking about the Yankees' fifth inning and not being ashamed. I was ashamed. Watching that inning, literally, I've been depressed ever since, Keith.
Yeah, I was in there. I told my story on air. I felt like the shock, like when you break a bone, I felt like a chill come over my body. I knew they were melting. I knew they were folding in the moment. I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. You can't do that, especially on a stage like the World Series, and you win that game, you're going back to L.A., down 3-2, who knows? It's a whole different series at that point. And just to see us crumble like that at the end, It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah, so they lift you all the way up just to drop you on your head. Thanks for the call, Andrew. 888-808-1019. Yeah, unfortunately, I moved. And I'm so superstitious. I move around Yankee Stadium, and I think next season I'm done. One, because some stupid nonsense came about that. People misinterpreting what I do and where I go in Yankee Stadium, because the internet is one thing and real life is another. That also goes back to Jason Kelce and this kid at Penn State. You can troll on the internet. You can hide on the internet. When you take that to real life and you say that to somebody's face, like, are you insane? This guy played center in the NFL. He was going up against guys like Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald. You think you're going to walk up on him with your cell phone and call his brother the F word? And he's not going to eventually, like, turn around and make you pay for that? Like, I mean, claim the insurance on your phone. You're going to have to pay for that. But, like, that's better than going to a hospital and having to, like, pay for your face being broken. Like, we're living in a strange time with this internet stuff, man. But, yeah, back to what I was saying, you know, me tweeting on the internet that, like, I'm bouncing around seats and I was like, I got kicked out a couple sections. Never have has security kicked me out. And shout out to all the security at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if anybody ever says that on WFAN or anywhere. I appreciate y'all. Y'all hold it down and you guys show me a lot of love. There's so many security people that I've met over the years before I was on the radio. And, like, now that I'm on the radio, like, I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys in the stadium for keeping order in that place and then for showing me love regardless. But, you know, there was some confusion about, like, what I was doing in the stadium and nonsense. And then we get to the World Series, and I'm blessed. I get legend seats, and I upgrade from the other seats that I had. I ended up having, you know, three pairs of tickets on my phone. The prices came down, and there was just a ton of marketing and brands and things floating around for the World Series. And I was able to give tickets away. And then the other seats that I had, last minute, I wasn't able to flip. I got blessed with other seats, and I don't know. We're bopping around. I told you I went to the friends and family section, I think, like, the third or fourth inning. I went up to the 300 level to see my girl Serena and her dad Joe, who came out here from L.A., season ticket holders with the Dodgers. They, you know, they always show me love when I go out there. And I went to see my people at MLB, and, you know, there's, like, an extra media area up on the 300 level in right field. I went to see some people, so I bopped around. And in the fifth inning, I'm with my wife, and my wife likes to be out in the people too, not in legends and not in the, like, you know, whatever. And we go sit in section 133, row 6, seats 14 and 15. And shout out to anybody listening that might have been in that section. You might have seen me. I know a couple people hit me like, yo, I saw you come in that section. But I didn't say what's up because I was in panic mode. I'm talking head in hand. I'm sweating. It was already a hot night, but I'm sweating. Once Judge drops that ball, and Yankee fans, where there was chatter leading up to the home games in Yankee Stadium about Yankee fans booing Aaron Judge. That was never a thing. That was also fake internet stuff, not real life. Aaron Judge drops a ball that he's supposed to catch 100 times out of 100. And Yankee fans chant, MVP, MVP. Volpe spikes the ball on the fielder's choice, trying to go to third, and fans are trying to pick up their starting pitcher, Gerrit Cole, Gerrit Cole. Cole gets a couple of strikeouts, but then what happens? Cole doesn't cover first. Rizzo never wants to run to first, just always wants to flip the ball, and we get got, and I have never felt more sick. I wanted to puke. I told my wife, we got to go. We got to leave this section. We got to go back to where we were when things were going good, and I'll never go back to that section. Just, I'll never get that view. Like, I didn't have the TV view. I was six rows back from left field. I could see everything unfold. And in that moment, I knew, oh, they're going to blow this game. We're about to lose tonight. There's no coming back from this. And that's how it went. 888-808-1019. So now we have some conversations about the Giants. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane. Why they're just, you know, practicing patience, and those guys are safe no matter how this season ends. Daniel Jones, obviously the injury clause in his contract. When is he eventually going to take a seat? Because even if he plays well, they're still losing, and there's much to be desired. I'll talk about that play that swung the game very early. Tommy DeVito we'll talk about. Malik Nabers we'll talk about. This defense we'll talk about. The trade deadline we'll talk about. Jets as well. I see somebody's called to weigh in on Jason Kelce. And, of course, I'll still take your calls on the Mets, on the Yankees with this lukewarm stove as we're trying to figure out where Juan Soto's going to go. Halfway through my five-hour show, KM to AM.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And returns right after this.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Halfway through another five-hour KM to AM. I'm having fun. I hope you are. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We're going to get right back to the phones. But if you're just tuning in for the first time, we opened up talking about the generational Juan Soto and where he'll land. And here we are again as Mets fans and Yankees fans cornering the market and thinking like Yamamoto, he's only going to choose one or the other. Yet to be seen. We've thrown out every reason why he'll choose one or the other. We don't know. And we've done a little bit of the lukewarm stove talking about guys like Pete Alonso or Christian Walker, or Alex Bregman or Santander. Haven't mentioned Tanner Scott yet. I'm still on that because I wanted them to trade for Tanner Scott. Still go get him. But I just think that there's time to get there, right? Plan A1 is Juan Soto for both the Mets and Yankees, I believe. And if they miss out, I'm sure they both have backup plans. 888-808-1019. We also talked about who had a better season. We also went back and reflected on the regular season versus the postseason. And, you know, we've talked about the World Series. How could we not? You know, I just saw a tweet about, oh, no matter what happens tonight, you know, no matter what you see, it could still be blown by a drop pop-up and not covering first base. Like, you know, trying to, you know, make light of the election and joke about the Yankees, right? No, it ain't over until it's over. Yeah, sure. But I'm kind of getting over the Yankees and Mets conversation. I'll still take your calls that are on the line, but I brought in a few things to the conversation from the Giants, which they kind of just puzzle me because the owner, I think, is just going down with this sinking ship for, you know, the purposes of not changing because that's what he did before. But, like, I don't know. They might give him a reason to have to change, and decisions can change and thoughts can change. And you're looking at a Giants team that has been a laughingstock. Last night I was on playing Micah Parsons talk about how the league has to deal with the Giants' stupidity because the Giants didn't value Saquon Barkley and now he's on the Eagles. And guess who, you know, the Cowboys and Micah Parsons returning from injury have to face? They have to face an Eagles offense that has A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, and now Saquon Barkley, 888-808-1019. And Barkley, they did him a favor. He made more money and got to play for a better team that is most likely going to be a playoff team. But then when you watch the game this past weekend and here you see Jaden Daniels, who we saw on Hard Knocks, and we saw Brian Daboll be adamant about wanting to trade up for him. We saw them quiz him. We saw Brian Daboll even ask him, you want to be here? You want to be the quarterback of the New York Giants? He said, yeah. But I think the kid knew. He knew he wasn't going to be drafted by the Giants at 6, and he knew that the Commanders were telling him, we're not moving off of 2. We've got a new owner, we've got a new head coach, and you're going to be our new quarterback. 888-808-1019. And speaking of quarterbacks, the quarterback you drafted number 6 overall in the Gettleman era, he's had the longest of leashes. And I don't want to pile on him. because he ran the ball hard. He did make some throws. But, man, it was the first play where he turned the ball over for me. You put a drive together with Tyrone Tracy. You're running the football. You get down to the 29-yard line. You know that your protection is all to the right. You have two tight ends to the right. You know, or you should know, that the defense is shifted over to the strength of your offense, the formation. You also know that you have Chris Hubbard at left tackle, who you claimed off the practice squad, who in my notes, I read that this guy was mostly a right tackle, and out of his like 58 starts, he started 51 of them at right tackle. If we know this information, Daniel Jones has to know, okay, this guy is one-on-one over here. We're trying to run a screen to the weak side of the formation. He's trying to get the ball to Devin Singletary. There's no way you're going to get that ball to him. As a quarterback, you're on your 29-yard line going in where you can get points. You're in scoring position. Rookie kicker, whatever, you should be able to get three at least. Maybe, since it was first down, you continue to run the ball and put a drive together where you could punch it in and get to pay dirt. But instead, Daniel Jones, he just can't, you know, he just finds a way. He just can't get out of his own way. I don't know what possessed him to get that first little hit and throw the ball, which it could have been picked. Anyway, you know, obviously you guys know what happened. The ball goes all the way down to the other side of the field, and the Commanders end up punching it in, and that's a point swing right there to start the game. And I was online tweeting about it, and I said, Daniel Jones will find a way. Didn't have to do that. And people were attacking me. Oh, he didn't have any time, Keith. Oh, it's the offensive line, Keith. The offensive line's never good. That's not my problem. That seems to be the Giants' problem consistently. And as a quarterback, you got to know to protect the football. I heard Tiki Barber say it yesterday. On that play, just eat it. Take the sack. Now you're, I don't know, second and 20 on the 39-yard line, but you have the ball, and you can still make some forward progress and kick the field goal. Instead, you're spotting Jaden Daniels and these guys 7 points. They left a lot of points off the board. I'm sure people were, you know, talking about the two-point conversions, and I don't know, man. The thing about tanking, nobody is trying to tank. And when you watch Brian Daboll go out there and coach, he's going to be passionate. He's trying to win. And no, you can't establish a culture where losing is accepted. That's how you literally lose your locker room. But these guys know. Look at Deontay Banks, man. He's a Maryland kid going up against the Maryland team. Well, one of them. A team that he probably resents. No, I know he resents because he went live last year after the Giants beat them, and he was talking at them about how they didn't draft him, and now they got to deal with him. They drafted Emmanuel Forbes ahead of him. This guy, I don't know about. You should be directing your arrows towards him. Malik Nabers being frustrated with the play calls. Malik Nabers having the quote about him not calling the plays. Let's see, he said, I don't call the plays, so I mean, I don't know. When you run the clock out in the first half, you're scratching in the second half to try to score points as many as possible. As an offense, you've got to be versatile. You've got to be able to run. You've got to be able to pass. You can't pick between half and half what you want to do. But like I said, I'm not the play caller. I'm not mad at that. In Hard Knocks, they also asked him, hey, how do you handle if you're not getting the ball? How do you handle if the game's not going well? Yeah, he said he's not going to like it. No receiver is going to like it. Not a good one to not be in the game plan against the Commanders team that the last time you played them, Malik Nabers had a big game. So I don't know. I think Malik Nabers was asked a question and he answered it. I'm not so mad about him wanting the ball, wanting to affect the game. The bigger quote was him talking about getting it out of the mud and building with this Giants team. So for all the people that said, oh, he didn't want to be here because he didn't do backflips on his way to Roger Goodell and put on a Giants hat and crack a big smile, I think this guy's a warrior. I think he's like that. When he steps on the field, he wants to be the best. Daniel Jones got to get him the ball. They got a scheme to get him the ball more. And he doesn't have to be happy about losing. He doesn't have to be happy about not being a part of the offense. 888-808-1019. So there's some Giants talk. Let's get to some of the Giants fans on the Fan. I also will get to the Jason Kelce conversation. And yeah, everything is still on the table from the Mets and the Yankees as well. Let's go to Belmore and talk to Dom. Dom, you got it. You're on.
Keith, what's up, man? Love your show, dude.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
So I got a couple points what you said earlier before the last break. So you're saying how Dable and Shane, you know, how is the hot seat not in question? And, you know, I agree with half your point. But I do think Shane is getting killed. He's getting killed in the media everywhere because the Saquon thing, and it obviously looks bad because Saquon's just doing his thing over there. And, of course, it adds insult to injury because it's Philadelphia. And he's a stud. We all knew he was a stud, whether it was money, whether we were going to put him behind a line that was just trash again and mm-hmm. we couldn't afford the sideline.
It's also the Daniel Jones contract.
For sure, for sure. But you got to give this guy credit on the draft class. I mean, it's one of the better draft classes we've had.
Wait. Wait. All right, so let's slow down. You want to give him credit?
You got Neighbors, Drew Phillips, Newbin, who leads rookies in tackles. Drew Phillips is a stud. I mean, Neighbors is Neighbors.
Tyrone Tracy, Theo Johnson. Yes, they're playing.
Theo Johnson come together.
They're playing, winning. So what? How much credit?
This is to my next point with Dable. Dable's got to be on the hot seat. I mean, we are top eight in most penalized team in football. This guy can't call an offensive play without getting penalized with illegal shifts, illegal motions, false starts.
Yeah, that's preparation. Coaching. Yeah, that's practice.
Absolutely. He brings this guy, supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, he brings this guy to a playoff in 2022, and all of a sudden he digresses.
I don't understand that. Let's pause with that for a second. If he's a QB whisperer, why is Daniel Jones still making mistakes, like throwing the defense the ball when he's about to take the hit anyway? Like,
I don't get it.
There's no coaching that tells you to throw the ball like he threw the ball in that first play on that screen blindly like that. That's terrible.
It's childish. It makes my blood boil. But, you know, back to, like, I do give Shane a pass. It does suck to see Saquon go. Who didn't love him? Class act, stud football player. I mean, he is what he is. We all knew what he was. I didn't hate the move in the beginning. It did suck that he went to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I did it's kind of like the Soto thing with the Yankees, right? If he does go to the Mets, if he does go somewhere else, we can spend that money elsewhere and get multiple pieces. That was the Shane mindset can get rid of Saquon and spend money at guard and tackle and sign Brian Burns. And they got.
Thanks for the call, Dom. Appreciate you, man. It's not like the Juan Soto thing at all. Saquon Barkley is your guy. You drafted. That your owner walked in the room and said he's going to have a hard time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia or anywhere. He's by far the most popular player. Like, your owner cautioned against that. Bill Belichick got on national television and mocked you. He literally laughed and said, like, we all know what Saquon is. Like, they went and spent that money on a guard. It's the NFL. You need playmakers. You need difference makers. And Saquon was very vocal about once a Giant, always Giant, a Giant, wanting to be with the Giants. And they gave money to Daniel Jones, which no matter how you chop it up, like, that affects what you can pay a running back. And you heard their quotes about, okay, they paid Daniel Jones, and they didn't pay Daniel Jones to hand the ball off to however many millions dollars of a running back. But it just looks bad now. Because that's your division rival thriving with him. It looks bad now because Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones. And even when he plays well, it's not good enough to win you games. I don't know how you can pat somebody on the back for a rookie class that is playing but not winning. They're not thriving. They're just playing. I think that says more about your roster construction that many rookies have to play. And now you're looking at a roster that you can't blame Gettleman for this roster anymore. You paid Gettleman's guys. Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence. Some of those guys you let walk, they're doing well elsewhere. I don't know, man. There's too many questions with what they're doing, what they're trying to do, and what they will do the rest of the season. Where, I mean, they're not going to go to the playoffs. They're not going to win many games. But to just be locked into they're safe, we're seeing it through with these guys. Why? What's the plan? How do you let this trade deadline pass and you don't trade anybody again? Because you're going to subscribe to the notion that you can win a couple games here and salvage your season. And no, the fans are going to be pissed off. The fans were pissed off when they literally yelled at John Mara saying, we need football people, not family. And now you get these football guys, and I guess they're just safe because in theory, they're going to lose out and they're going to have a top 10 pick. They're going to be the worst team in the NFC, and I don't know where they're going to be picking, but they'll have their choice of... I don't think so. I think last night when I was talking about Cam Ward and I had Jalen Milroe in my head, I've been online talking about, you know, and laughing like the Giants are going to get Jalen Milroe. The Giants are going to get Jalen Milroe. We'll talk more about the difference between Jalen Milroe, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and back-to-back years here with the Giants where they could miss out on getting their quarterback of the future. Nothing changes until you get that guy. Nothing changes until Dable and Shane have their quarterback to complete the trifecta. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Classic. Patterson, New Jersey. Fetty Wap. Big Zoo Wap producing the show tonight, doing his thing, dropping the beats. Keith McPherson talking into the microphone, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. The kids say it hits different on The Fan in New York. Let's get back to the conversation at hand. We were talking about the Giants, Shane, Dable, and how I know, you know, they're not going anywhere. But they're going to tank this year correctly, effectively. There should be a point where they sit Daniel Jones down wisely because of that contract. And there's something I was reading in the contract, too. He can get hurt. He can sprain an ankle. He can get hurt, have a bone bruise or a contusion or whatever. It's like a season-ending injury that when the new league year starts, his physical is affected. They don't want this to be an ACL or an Achilles or, you know, something that's going to, you know, take, I don't know, 5-6 months to rehab. So they're going to keep playing him because they're not trying to give off the appearance that they're tanking and trying to lose, whatever. 888-808-1019. Lewis is in Hoboken on The Fan.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, man. I just wanted to touch back on Dable and Shane. If you're John Mara, how long of a leash do you give these guys? Because, you know, you look at the Giants' record, they're 2-7, I believe. I think, you know, a lot of those games were winnable. You know, we could be looking at 6-3, 5-4. Do you really think like a quarterback change is really going to, you know, fix what's been wrong with this team for a long time?
They're no.
Always unprepared.
Daniel Jones is the best quarterback on the roster. That says a lot. But like, it's not so much that they try and fix it by sitting Daniel Jones down. Daniel Jones actually played well. PFF graded him at a 91.5 for that game. He had one bad mistake in the beginning, but he battled back. And I saw some passion and some fight in him. But it's about looking down the road. It's about, like, last year, if you were looking more down the road, maybe you get Jaden Daniels. Like, it's about the future and just understanding that, like, this season's already lost. You're not winning anything. You're not going to the playoffs. So, like, those moral victories of winning a couple games here against the Panthers or the Cowboys or the Saints, like, what is it going to do? It's going to put you in a spot where you're drafting Jalen Milroe and not Cam Ward.
But I'm saying what? The losses that they had, some of them go beyond Daniel Jones. Like, you know, as things as little as, like, can we get a healthy kicker on the team so we can win a game,
sure.
You know? And I think that a lot of that falls on, you know, Shane and Dable.
Being unprepared.
Like, you know, what are they doing? Like, you're just sitting on your hands. Like,
What are you doing in practice? I know we went back to the first game with Graham Gano and Graham Gano getting hurt. And it's like, how do you not have a kicker ready, an emergency kicker ready? How are you not kicking all week? We talked about these two-point plays. It certainly would help if you had Saquon Barkley to get you 2 yards in a cloud of dust for a two-point play. But it's like, if you're going for two so much, you got to be repping it, practicing it so much in practice that, like, I don't know, man. It doesn't look good. I think Dable is a good coach. I think when they went to Seattle and won that game, you really got to see that. But there are little things, like you mentioned, with the penalties, being unprepared, little things that have fallen through the cracks where it's like, these guys aren't doing their jobs to the best of their capabilities. Thanks for the call, Lewis. It's like, you shouldn't ever be in a situation, like, special teams for the Giants has been a pain point for too long. You shouldn't be in a position where, like, you're on your, you know, I don't know. Graham Gano is going to come back. Injuries are injuries. But you'd like them to be more prepared to win. But that's why I say they're tanking effectively. They're giving you the illusion that they're in these games, they're competing. The defense has been good at times, at least the front seven. The D-line, the linebackers. I was talking about Nick McCloud, and you get the news that Nick McCloud gets released, and he's a guy that he was playing defense and special teams. He was in there a lot. They also released punter Matt Hack, so Jamin Gillian's going to come back, and Graham Gano is on his way back. But this is an interesting week, a neutral site going to Germany and facing a Panthers team that, like, they're getting excited. Bryce Young is back. They just won a game against a division rival. Neutral site, they feel like they can beat the Giants. The Giants feel like they can beat them. I don't know. We're going to have some interesting conversations. And, yeah, I think I saw a Talking Giants put out from Jordan Renan that Nick McCloud was playing 63% of the special team snaps. He also was a guy that was playing outside and nickel cornerback. Like, this is a guy that you were relying on. I know you have Adoree Jackson in there. Deontay Banks got to get better. There's just a lot to be desired here. And then there's confusion when, you know, there was rumors about trading Darius Slayton, but their asking price was too high, and Azeez Ojulari as well. It's like, are you going to bring these guys back? Like, what's the point in back-to-back years not getting value for guys that you could potentially lose? 888-808-1019. I did want to get back to this conversation around a former Eagle, Jason Kelce, going out to State College, promoting his beer that he has with his brother. I thought it was a little awkward that they opened up Monday Night Football having him address the world and apologizing for his behavior, where his quote was, "I chose to greet hate with hate, and I just don't think that's a productive thing." I think in the court of public opinion, most people sided with Jason Kelce, and I think because we were watching a Monday Night Football game with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and all of that, Disney, ESPN, they're like, man, it's just better if you go on here and apologize. But I thought that was going to be something for, you know, the New Heights podcast. I thought that was going to be something that he talked about more on the podcast. But now, you know, the Kelces are in everything. They're in cereal commercials. They're everywhere. And you know what? I like to see that out of Jason Kelce. Like, he showed us a human element that, hey, you're not just going to talk about my brother. You're not just going to walk up on me with your phone, especially a drunk college kid. Steven Rockland, you're on the Fan. What's up, Steve?
You know, Keith, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, except that guy, let me tell you something. When he went to move toward that dude saw his brief life flash before his eyes, okay? I don't know how old he is or what, but he didn't look like much, all right? Let's face it. He really didn't look like too much. And I don't know what he thought he was doing when he was giant.
I've watched every angle of the video. He was basically saying to Kelce, and he got him confused, but he was also, I think the kid was just drunk. He was calling his brother. He's like, your brother is an F word and not the four-letter word.
You know what, for a change, I caught that. But this is what I think. Now, I didn't see this apology stuff. You know, I didn't see the apology on ESPN. I didn't, but I will say this, that a guy like that who has, you know, attained, like, as an athlete, has attained so much.
He is a former NFL offensive lineman. I played football with offensive linemen. You don't mess with those guys. They hand fight on every play. They can break your neck, literally.
You just said, the guy had to deal with Dominican Sue and all these dudes.
Yeah.
Listen, but what I'm saying is, he's, you know, I think that he's got to do a little better, because it was literally like taking candy from a baby.
I know, but I hate that.
The high road, listen, the high road, I don't have to tell you. You know, it's not the greatest place to be.
Yeah.
But sometimes, man, you got to like...
You're right about it. Thanks for the call, Steve. I understand what you're saying, but here's what I'm saying, right? You know, you always have to take the high road when you get put up high. When you get put in a position that you're higher above other people. I've had to learn that the hard way sitting in this chair. I want to stoop down low with people on the internet. I want to stoop down low when people are saying racist, terrible things about me on the internet. You can't do it. But like in real life, these kids got to understand you're not protected by your phone screen. The audacity of this dude to think he could walk up on Jason Kelce, a former NFL center, And just use the slur that he used talking about his brother. You triggered him talking about his brother. And the fact that you walked up on him thinking it was sweet, like, that is my problem. We live in an era right now where everyone's using this phrase. We live in an era right now where these kids never got punched in the face. I grew up in an era where you would definitely get punched in the face off of words, off of things that you said. Are you crazy? Those are fighting words. And like the audacity to walk up to somebody filming them. You don't have permission to film me because I'm famous. You don't have permission to heckle me because I'm walking through your campus. And I like that we saw that human element of like, this guy is a bear. you just saw him turn into a bear. As nice as he is, nah, like there has to be a line. And I think the more we see stuff like that, the less people do it because these kids think they're protected. Like that was ridiculous. And then he had to apologize, of course, because the corporate powers and the people whatever have to, you know, they made him apologize. But in the moment, you saw he had enough. And like he even stumbled a little bit picking up the kid's phone. And I don't know. That whole thing rubbed me the wrong way. The internet all said that kid was in the wrong. And I wish that Kelsey didn't apologize and he just stood on it and saying, listen, you poked the bear. What do you expect? 888-808-1019. Now we're at the 10 o'clock break and update. PB Radio and TV. Pat Boyle coming through. He's going to get you updated. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.